and going out and hiring a contractor and getting the contract approved and getting the person on the schedule and getting them out there to do it and then getting the report back. We're talking another year, probably, by the time. I mean, that's about how long it takes to do a process like that. Nothing seems to move quickly.
I have a suggestion. Including this agenda item, I have a suggestion. Would the maker of the motion remove the language that specifies 650 feet? That will give the Quarry Monitoring Committee the opportunity to measure whatever the heck they need.
I'll make that amendment.
Second.
Anybody else want to talk about this?
We still have one more, I think.
To the setback, though, in motion. Just taking out 650.
Yeah, because Drexel has an 800.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carried.
And the next item on here is the request by the residents for looking at the blasting models. Over the years, the quarry was very close to Robson Avenue. They weren't blasting near the homes. Now they were very far on the south side, blasting very close. And the levels that were set at that time, back in 1997, appear, according to the residents, to be way too high to protect the values of their homes and everything. So they're asking that the PDB be looked at for adjusting those levels, and they would like the city attorney to make that opinion. I know from experience that we are able to make amendments to PDBs, the issue at hand might be more so what's the Pina Dolan's say-so involvement in opening up and making that change, and that the city attorney has an opinion on how much power the city has over that PDB versus the other parties.
I'll second that.
It was a question.
So there's an action sheet directing me to provide an opinion on the subject matter, and now you want me to give you an opinion right now. Here's the general subject matter. In general, plan development districts under the statutes require consent of the developer. And I did a quick check when I saw this agenda subject matter, which I was not party to, and added it again to higher up on the list of to-dos. And both Plan Development District number 23 and number 24 do have procedures for amendments to the Plan Development Districts with a number of specific standards. Those have to be met, so all of that has to be reviewed. So it's not a simple answer scenario, but there is an ability for amendments. My recollection, as I believe I stated previously on the record, and I haven't updated my study of quarry mining for some past 20-some years, but my recollection, when those plan development districts were adopted, and I've heard citizen comments about there's no other quarry around that is this close to residential property uses, single-family homes. My recollection is there were a number of other quarries in Wisconsin that were proximate to residential uses, a good number of them, and this is all per recollection, and that these particular plan development district ordinances, and I know I have that confirmed because Phil Fauble at the Department of Natural Resources worked hand-in-hand on this. My recollection, it was three times more restrictive than DNR regulations, and ultimately, when it was done, the most restrictive quarry mining regulation in the state of Wisconsin. So that would have been amongst all the other municipalities, et cetera, et cetera. So now, 20-some years later, you go back and we'll review all this, we'll apply the standards and provide an opinion on it, and I need to talk to experts. Blasting experts, et cetera, et cetera. I don't remember, all the 1, 2, 3 numbers. I'm not conversant with any of the technical information anymore, so I'll do all that, and we'll get back as to whether or not there's room for a reasonable amendment, and give you an answer.
And I know this isn't part of this, but there's also the issue in there that records were supposed to go to the fire department, and that was changed, and then citizen complaining out, sort of back doing that, but that's just another section of the review. But okay, I'll make the motion during the city attorney to provide an opinion on the ability of the city to revisit PED number 23 and 24 standards for human blasting levels allowed by the two PEDs with a date to return back to the council no later than the last meeting.
Is there a second?
I'll second it with a discussion. Jesse?
There is no such thing, but
okay.
Mr. Alderman Barber.
Is there any kind of a timeline, Jesse, that you'd be comfortable with on this, or
what did I hear last meeting in June?
We'll do it. Okay, thank you.
Okay. No, I'm not going to talk about workflow. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Pleasure. Do you want to take a 10-minute break, or do you want to
no.
Move on?
Yeah, I don't think we...
Yep.
We'll return at, let's say, 8:45, because of 4 minutes. 8:47, we're back in open session. I'm going to move around on the agenda a little bit. We'll try to get some of this stuff done. Item G5 is purchase authority to execute purchase for a fire pumper. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G6 is a resolution to amend resolution 2017-7291, initially approving condominium plat for Park Circle Condominiums.
So moved.
Second.
I just wonder why we're waiting in the prior regulatory time limits on recording the plan.
Mr. City Attorney.
We're moving it forward. They'd have to reapply because they didn't meet the time limits and start all over, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G7 is an easy one, an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance to allow mortgage bankers and loan correspondents, and Mr. Deedle's got one issue with this.
There's two motions. If the council agrees with the Plan Commission, it's the second motion. If the council agrees with the applicant, it's the first motion.
And the difference is?
The Plan Commission was only recommending approval of three of the changes the applicant was asking for. I think he was asking for seven, and the Plan Commission only agreed with three of them.
Alderman Danger?
The Plan Commission, ultimately what happens is we go through and change everything that the applicant was asking for, we never get another look at or kick at the can. It's putting us at risk, and that's why we approved the minor ones that were recommended. The other ones we did not.
So your motion is for the second
motion. Is to... The second one is a motion to approve ordinance 2019, adopting an ordinance to
second.
The Unified Development Act.
Discussion of the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. To the quorum, folks, I'm sorry, but I want to get some of this stuff put on. Item G9, we did 8.
Yep.
G9 is an ordinance to amend ordinance 2018-2345, adopting the budget. This requires 4 votes, and this is to buy another dog that's going to get funded by the citizens of Canada. I'm clerk.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Motion carries, 6 ayes, no noes, no absence, no abstentions. Great job. Item G10, an ordinance to amend ordinance 2018-2345, adopting the annual budgets. This is to buy the dog.
So
Moses Ryan, intercepted. Discussion? Alderman Willem.
This is for, you're talking about G10, right?
Right.
I changed what I said.
Okay. I'm just wondering, why is anyone still going to pay for that?
You're not complaining, are you?
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Well, it's on the next one. I'll leave that question on the next one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye.
This is a roll call vote because it's a budget amendment.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Alderman
Dandridge.
Aye.
Alderman Mayor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I'm a vote no on this.
Oh, yes.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Motion carries 5 ayes, 1 no, no absent, no abstentions. G11 is to enter into the Intergovernmental Cooperation Agreement with MMSD for this Ryan.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. City Engineer and Mr. City Attorney.
You have in front of you a change. This went back and forth between our attorney, their attorney. Really, the major difference is number 15, the indemnification is the difference. And then I did notice that we made a change on reference A versus B, and they changed it back for some reason by accident, I'm sure.
There were minor changes between Council for Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District and I, and we got back his final version this afternoon, and that's what's before you. I would, however, city engineer still has a question about a consultant performance contract and who pays for that. So that gets in, and it's relatively minor in relation to what this contract is all about. So the recommendation is that the motion on the action sheet be subject to changes thereto approved by the city engineer and the city attorney.
That.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, it's been accepted by the maker and second hall in the law.
Okay, now my question was, why did MMSD decide to pay for this since we have the maintenance agreement for this interceptor?
Well, Ryan Creek Interceptor will become their facility in 2031. This is taking flows from Oswego, which is primarily the issues that we're having. So it's we've pushed hard for them to pay for it, and it appears that they will. They haven't agreed to it yet, but their staff has worked through this.
Those reasons have always been in place that we're taking flow from Oswego. The fact that there's lack of flow in the interceptor is what I said day one when I voted against this, that there wasn't going to be enough flow. Make this. I think I said there's going to be a 42-inch round pipe in the ground with a tablespoon of water in it. And now here's exactly what we have, which is causing more corrosion. But how much does one of these Vortex things cost? Because, or this IPAX Vortex, how much is that? Because when I was looking at it, it's like a $10,000 unit, and there's almost $500,000.
The unit itself is only about $10,000, but we have to create a large structure in the manhole. We have to do some diversion. There's engineering involved. There's also some venting pipes that they'll put some, I call them candy canes, but basically some activated carbon to address any issues that this may not solve. So we've tried to look at this from every angle, and this is the best guess as to what will solve it. Hydrogen sulfide corrosion issues are, it's kind of a tricky, it's not really a science, it's kind of an art, and because the flows fluctuate so much, we're hoping that this will work. So.
And that was my next point. Hoping it will work. $500,000 for a hope. I'm going to vote no, and I do hope it works, and I know it's going to pass. But I really hope that this can be taken care of, and maybe we'll get some flow in this pipe at some point.
Again, it's not a straight calculation.
We have a motion on the floor. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Aye. Motion carries 5 ayes, 1 no. No absent, no abstentions. G12 authorization to purchase computers for the police department.
So moved.
Okay, who wants it?
I'll second.
All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move back to G2. Roberta and Warren, folks.
Motion
this was such a hot topic on the internet. Where the hell is everybody?
Oh, it's not fake news anymore.
I'll just give a brief introduction to John Curran with Quorum Architects. He does have a PowerPoint presentation to walk through the what was in your packet. I have suggested to him that we can skip some of the technical stuff unless there's questions. And in the end, the only thing being asked to be approved tonight is to move forward with phase two, which is authorize them to prepare the construction documents so we can go to bid on the base bid and the alternates that are incorporated, and to give you some idea of where we might stand relative to the currently approved budget. So that would be the basis of the presentation that's in the packet that we'll run.
Thank you very much. Again, I'm John Curran with Quorum Architects.
You got to get right up.
Okay, John Curran with Quorum Architects. I've got Corey Romanesco. He's also with Quorum Architects. If you do want to get technical, we've got Randy Liffey here, who's dealing with the HVAC system. And then we got Brian Wilkie, who is our roofing consultant. If you want to really find out what in depth what a TPO is as far as the roofing material and stuff.
Now so. You guys know how sausage gets made.
Okay, so they're here to back me up if need be. On behalf of Chris Hall, he's on spring break right now, so I'll do the best I can to fill in for him at this. Let's see. So basically, what I'm going to do is kind of shoot through this pretty quickly for you guys. It's been a long night for you and everything. But, the base bid, basically what we're looking at is a entire roof replacement. There's two types of roofs that we're going to have, and we're calling it both the north and south. We'll get into that a little bit with a slide. The other thing that we'll be looking at is a HVAC replacement for a South City Hall portion of it. And again, the wood fascia that is ongoing maintenance headache for you and is tired and dated, and see what we can do to replace that. In addition to that, we're doing a little bit of some architectural design elements, giving a little better identity with looking at two canopies, the one here coming into the City Hall, and then also the one that's over by the police station, a little bit more to the east portion. Within here, you're going to see some alternate bids real quickly, so you'll know what we're bidding out. There's different materials that we're going to look at for the fascia. We'll get into that a little bit. And then, of course, there's another real simple one, which is basically a roof warranty for an upgrade to go from a 20 to 30 year. Anyways, I'll jump. Go ahead. Go through that. You can see here it's the entire roof replacement. I keep going, Mark. We're showing you some sections through here, but basically not only replacing the membrane, but kind of getting down through the components that make up that roof and increasing your insulation levels.
That's required by code?
Yes, it'll be a real code requirement to bring it up to a certain. I think we're right now at an R23. You'll be coming up to that's the amount of energy efficiency that it has.
So let me say that differently.
Okay.
The code currently is much higher R value than the current existing roof. Is that correct?
And that one I can turn over to Ryan.
Nah, that's a yes or no.
Ryan, what do you
think? That's a yes or no.
The two roofs are different. The northern roof has some insulation on it, but because of the roof type, we're changing that insulation out because of the moisture that's within it, and the net change in insulation is minimal on that roof. This existing roof has a much lower insulating factor and level on it and needs to be upgraded because of the HVAC upgrades and the replacement of the membrane to meet code on this portion of the building.
Okay, so the south is yes. The north is kind of.
Possibly, okay. Yes. We can look into that and we can get back to you on that one. I can't answer. Sorry on that one.
The information is within there, too, that gives the R value.
Yeah, I just did a project where it was not. It was going to say it was a warehouse downtown. We converted it, and we needed an R10 minimum.
John, rest assured, I was just trying to make
that's it. All right.
Move on.
Okay. And then, of course, you got the HVAC upgrades. Probably number one complaint in buildings, I'm too hot or too cold and stuff like that. So you're getting a really nice system on there. And Randy's here if you want any explanation on the type of system that's going in there.
John, if I can interrupt here, because it references something in my council action sheet. So we have fencing perimeter all around this, which is our current roofing with the three units. We're going to be down to a much smaller area here. So fixing this old screening that's up there added cost that wasn't previously estimated. And these old units, which have large penetrations through the sort of the ceiling top,
into the facility. Now we have to add steel and replace that as this is eliminated and more roofing is added here. Makes for a longer roof with less problems because there's fewer penetrations, but it did add costs not previously contemplated when HVAC and the roof were separately sort of estimated, you know, numbers of years ago as we move forward. So that's the kind of example that I referenced in my council action sheet.
Would you want to know as far as code? Because we got Randy here.
No.
He can tell you as far as, okay, all right.
No.
He can probably tell you it's a very efficient system. Another thing that you should know, too, is that's going to require a certain amount of work within the office space. I think we got planned about 3,500 square feet of area. Might be at a certain point disrupted as they're doing the work in a plenum area. So okay. Within your base bid, we got two canopies that we're looking at. The one I just mentioned over your main entry for the city hall and also to the police station.
He means building services.
Yeah, sorry. Building services. You do have other canopies around that, and you can see there's an alternate. That's on this slide, three other canopies. Right now, within your base bid that we're showing you, those three are not included. So that's an option that we'll be putting together and drawing to see where we're at when we do a hard bid. As a side note here, as we're talking about numbers, these are schematic plans. They're not final numbers. They are budget numbers provided by Seltzer Orange Construction, and they're used as a guide for us as an architect to guide us into design, development, construction documents. One of the materials that are actually a little bit out of sequence, but this is one of the options. It's called Nichiha. It's a product that we've looked at from day one on this project. If you're familiar with like a hardy plank, it's a concrete type product. It's a panelized system. We got some of them.
The Nichiha is in the center.
Right. The appearance that you have basically with these products is that it has very similar to like a metal looking panel. It's a rain screen type product, so it's not used as a water barrier that's picked up behind the panel. It's a very common product that you see. We've used it a lot architecture on various projects. And that is called Nichiha. They compete head-on with Hardy Plank, so that we're going to be bidding both of those. This is the one that we actually have in there. For whatever reason, I'm not sure our main photograph shows it under construction. It actually doesn't show the panel on it. It's off to the left that you see on the side. So.
Oh, it's not on the panel?
No, so that means I'll be able to get donuts tomorrow morning from the person that put that slide on there. So, but other than that, it's showing the runners that you have. It's a vertical track system. It's a they come in like 4x8 sheets. It's a very well-designed system. It has a lot of concealed fastening, so you don't see a lot of, you know, nail holes and stuff like that through the panel system. That's one of our projects that we used it on, and we used it on various projects. And you'll see it used around the same
wall.
It goes on a clip system, an actual clip system. Yeah, you would see. Yeah, both the Nichiha as well as the Hardy Plank are a concealed fastening system.
So the Hardy Plank is right here. Staff suggested that ultimately as the base bid because it does have the lower cost due to the larger individual sheet size, and it also had the broadest color ranges for future selection. All have a lot of colors. It seemed to have slightly more. So that's why primarily cost due to the larger sheets is why it was the base bid.
Well, technically, how long is that from the roof down to do that fascia? Largest sheet. You're talking about waste. Have you calculated waste?
Yeah, the estimator took care of that, so we had prices from the estimator who had all those measurements, so it was estimated to be the lowest price of the three.
With the least amount of waste.
He focused on cost. He didn't give a volume of waste in the estimate.
Well, yeah, the
cost and waste, there's a big difference. I know when you buy things, you buy things to fit a space, and so if you're buying a certain size tile to fit in, you buy smaller tiles so you have less waste to cut,
This is made in the small sheet size they have is a 4x8. So we're using a 4 foot, you'll see the 4 foot pattern that's used vertically, and then we just match it to the height. So as far as waste, there would be some waste based on the height that we have there. Each panel product would have some waste. The Nichiha is more of a horizontal system. It locks in, and I think those are generally about 17 inches by, I think they're a little bit longer, getting into like a 60 inch type range.
So it'd be easier to put up.
Yeah, the Nietzsche house is going to be more labor intensive. You're going to see a dollar amount that's probably well over $60,000, but we'll bid it out. This one is within your base cost, so the 1.775 cost that you have.